This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'd like to introduce to you from the great state of Texas today, John Needler on Preaching Sunday. Here's John.
Hello, everyone. This is John Needler, and I'm from Georgetown, Texas. I'm a member of Family Worship Center in Elgin, and I minister also at the Ministry of Challenge in Manor, Texas. And I just like to say a little bit about myself. I met Dale Gentry at a small church in Georgetown in 1989, almost 30 years ago. And at the time, Dale would just line everybody up, and you'd get in line, and he would ask you your name, and he would prophesy over you. And I still have the cassette tape, and he said something like, God has given you the gift of compassion, and you're going to reach out to the homeless, to the down and outers, and to the brokenhearted. And even in your own life, you're going to have to deal with a broken heart. And so the next few years after that, I really was dealing with that. I lived that out and began to realize just what a big impact the gift of prophecy, or the ministry of prophecy, was in a person's life and how effective that is. And I did go on to work in an outreach ministry in Austin, Victory Outreach or Victory Ministries, and was reaching out to the homeless, specifically boys in the housing projects. We were doing the Royal Ranger ministry, and we had a weekly meeting, and we would take boys camping once a month. And we did that for about 10 years, and it was really one of the biggest blessings in my life was to be a part of all that. And just not too long ago, Dale was at our church in Elgin, and it was probably about 150 people there that night, and Dale made sure that he prophesied over every single person there. And again, he prophesied over me and said nearly the same thing. He told me, your life verse is Luke 4:18. And Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So I'm really taking that to heart, and I believe God is calling me to preach. I've been preaching and teaching for the last 2 to 3 years at the Ministry of Challenge, and I'm also the prayer leader at Family Worship Center in Elgin. I just appreciate the ministry, Breakout Prayer Network, and how they're calling people to prayer and really calling people to do what the Lord has called them to do. So the title of the message today is, The Kingdom Belongs to Such as These. And I want to begin in Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And you know, many of the scriptures here in Matthew and in other gospels show how Jesus addressed issues of the heart. And he was really dealing with the disciples, and the heart that they had was very competitive. They really didn't have their head around what Jesus was doing. They were really looking for a kingdom that would be established very quickly, and a king who would come and give them victory over their enemies, their physical enemies, and they were ready to rule and reign as part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus had a different plan. In the previous chapter, his disciples were arguing over who was the greatest in the kingdom. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. It seemed like the disciples made a habit of arguing who was the greatest in the kingdom. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Also, Mark chapter 9, verse 33 through 37. Verse 33, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" So here they are, again, arguing amongst themselves, and Jesus calls them out. "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So Jesus is really showing them what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a little child, and that we've got to receive the kingdom as a little child would. And children are naturally open and honest. Children receive the message of Jesus very easily. Teaching children in the Royal Rangers and in Children's Church, different times that I would teach the children, it was amazing to see we would have just a simple story, a simple object lesson, how quickly they would be to raise their hand to receive Christ as their Savior, and how quickly they would engage in praise and worship. I remember one time I had a chance in Children's Church. They divided the children up into three groups each Sunday, and we would rotate. And I was placed in the prayer group, so I would take prayer requests. And then we would allow the children to pray and lead prayer. And it just amazed me some of the depth of their prayers and the things that they believed God would do if they just prayed. You know, we've got to become that way. Sometimes over the years we become hardened, our hearts become hard. We want to be complainers and backbiters. We want to be served instead of serving others. And really what God is asking us tonight is, where is your heart? Where are you at in your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Are you able to call out to Him? Are you able to look up to Him as your Heavenly Father and seek His counsel, seek His provision, seek His protection, just like we would our earthly fathers? Do we seek Him, and do we see Him as a big and loving Father who wants the very best for us? And what I want to look at different type of conversions in the Bible, because, you know, some conversions seem to be immediate. Some there's actually one we're going to look at of a missed conversion, a missed opportunity to follow Jesus. The rich young ruler and his missed conversion. Jesus is always asking us to come and follow him. And it's because he humbled himself and was doing the will of his Father in heaven, even unto death. So he was saying, come and follow me. To his disciples, he said, come and follow me. And he tells us, come and follow me. Come and take your cross and follow me. Come and humble yourself, just like I did. Humble yourself and take on the form of a servant and serve others instead of being served. So Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. Verse 16, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And I believe this rich young ruler really had a lot of pride. We'll see here in a minute how he confessed to have followed the laws. And I believe really what he wanted was just he wanted an attaboy from Jesus. He wanted to be recognized. And so verse 17, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? In other words, what else you got, Jesus? I mean, I've kept all those laws from my youth. What else? What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. See, Jesus just wanted this rich young ruler to humble himself and to follow him. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So that's the good news, that with you and me, things seem impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I believe what the disciples were looking at when they saw this rich young ruler was a young man who had it all and that surely was blessed by God. He was a man that they could look up to and admire and aspire to be like. And I believe they made someone who was rich as someone who was also receiving God's favor and who must have been right in the center of God's will. So that's why the disciples, when they heard that, responded with, who then can be saved? If this rich young ruler is not going to enter the kingdom of God, who then can be saved? Let's go down to verse 28. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Another conversion I want to look at is the Apostle Peter. And I'm just calling this in the process conversion. And I want to look at the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 32. And we're going to see here the disciples are in a dispute again. And I know the Gospels, many times they're overlapping and the different apostles are speaking of the same events. But here again we find in Luke a dispute. Verse 24, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. The New Living Translation says, when you have repented and turned to me again. The Berean Study Bible says, when you have turned back. And the King James Version says, when thou art converted, strengthen your brothers. So there was a conversion process that Peter was going through. And we know all the stories of Peter, very boisterous, very outgoing, the first to speak up, the first to pledge his allegiance to Christ, but also one who denied him three times and was really in a very rejected, a dejected place as Christ went to the cross and he knew that he had denied his Savior. But then afterwards, after Jesus had raised from the dead, he came, tell all the disciples and Peter that I have risen from the dead. He put a special emphasis on telling Peter. The Apostle Peter was going through a conversion process. And I believe that's how a lot of us are. And I believe that when we come to Christ, we are justified. That we are members of God's kingdom. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's also a process of sanctification where the Holy Spirit begins to work in us and change us. It said that God loves us just the way we are, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. So Peter is one of these who was in a process of conversion. And I want to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 26. This is after the promise of the Father. This is after the Holy Spirit comes. And Peter is preaching under God's anointing. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that you may send the Messiah, that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he has promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Verse 24. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on the earth will be blessed. And this is speaking of his offspring, Jesus, who would come and be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And that all the people of the world would be blessed through him. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So here we see the converted Peter, who is now preaching the good news, the people of Israel, and he's preaching with boldness. I believe he came to a point where he began to recognize his servanthood. He came to recognize who he was in Christ. And it was also because of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. The third example I want to look at is Zacchaeus. And I call it Zacchaeus, the instant conversion. Although I believe the Lord Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus. He didn't just meet him. This is something that God was working on Zacchaeus, his heart. And Zacchaeus was a point in his life where all Jesus had to do was say, Zacchaeus. All Jesus had to do was look up and address him and tell him, come down, I'm coming to your house today. And I know that's how some of you remember your conversion. Some of you remember the first time that you understood Jesus as your Savior. You understood that Jesus was the King of Glory and that you welcomed him in your heart. And it was after he had drawn himself, or I'm sorry, he had drawn you to himself. And then it seems like an instant conversion to us, but really it's something that had been going on for several years, I believe. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And most of you know this. If you grew up in the church, you sang the song about Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And so we see the transformation of heart, and I believe that he had come to an understanding in that instant who Jesus was. And he repented. He had a change of heart, a change of mind. He turned things around where he had been cheating people. He said, I'm going to pay back four times. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. And so, where are you at today? What does your heart look like? Are you full of frustration and bitterness, anger, jealousy? Are you arguing and complaining and gossiping? Or have you come to the conclusion that you're nothing without Jesus? Are you really at a point in your life where you have surrendered everything and given him your all? Have you repented and turned away from your sin? Are you looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith? In closing, I want to look also at Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 21, 14 through 16. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise,' or 'You, Lord, have perfected praise'?" And Jesus was quoting Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise on account of your adversaries, to silence the enemy and avenger." See, God wants to get us to a point in our lives where we're totally empty of ourselves and we're not depending on our own strength. We understand that we're weak. We understand that we can't do the things that God has called us to without his help, without his strength, without his leadership. Children look to their fathers for protection, for guidance, for provision, and for his love. Some of you may still remember looking up to your father. Maybe you were 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 years old, looking up and seeing this giant of a man who reached down and picked you up. And that's the way our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be today. Jesus said, "Such are the kingdom of heaven. Don't deny these little children to come to me, because such are the kingdom of heaven." These are the kind that are going to enter right into God's kingdom. So tonight, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I know that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is none like you. And I need you so very much tonight. I find myself like Zacchaeus, looking back on the bad things I've done, the bad things I'm doing, My thoughts are wrong. My attitudes are wrong. I'm seeking to be first. I'm seeking to obtain riches and things instead of your kingdom. Father, tonight we repent of our sins. We don't want to just be crying tears. We want to rend our hearts. We really need our hearts to be changed. So Father, we right now, we repent. We turn from our wicked ways. We turn to you, Lord. We do that. And we pray that you would receive us into your kingdom, that you would use us once again for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to John Needler today on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate you listening today. For more information, you can always contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com, or please visit us at bpnradio.com. Have a tremendous day.